Hello, everybody. It's great to come to you today. I have the scripture passages from the 14th chapter of John, verses 25, 26, and 27. Listen for God's word as it comes to us today. John writes, Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And there the passage ends. May God bless these words now as I seek to apply them to our lives. Well, it's great to come to you here today. I'm sitting on my front deck again with our wedding flowers. There's a week to go before the wedding. I hope all the things on the to-do list get checked off. I'm sure they will. We're looking forward to a great celebration. I also want to remind you that we are doing these videos again until the building is done. We're actually in the building, so I want to thank everybody who's working so hard to bring you these videos. You know, it's a team effort. Our whole staff gets involved in these. You know, there's Joe and Jill and Samantha and myself. There is Natalie and Dwight and Tom working behind the scenes. And then, of course, there is Tag, who is weaving all these videos together. So these are our gift to you, and we hope that you're watching them, not just on Sunday morning, but maybe during the week as well. So again, thanks to the whole staff for their work for you. Now, I want to switch a little bit. I want to talk from going to talking about weddings to going to talking about deathbeds. I know, kind of a shift. But we have flowers, so funeral flowers, what about that? But I want you to picture that you're on your deathbed, and you're still lucid enough to talk. And you have all of your family with you. You have your spouse, your partner, you have friends, you have your children, you have your grandchildren. Everybody is gathered around your bed because they're wanting to hear kind of your final words of wisdom. Before you make your great departure into the resurrection, what are going to be your final words that you're going to say to your family? Take all of your wisdom and give it out to them. What are you going to say? See, that's the situation that Jesus finds himself in. Before he makes his great departure into the resurrection, he wants to give his disciples his final words of encouragement. Actually, that's why all of chapter 14 is called the Great Departure, because Jesus, again, is trying to find these words before he departs. And it's a powerful passage. John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 are actually really significant chapters in the Bible. They're actually part of my favorite sections of the entire Bible, but definitely of John's gospel. Because John starts in the 14th chapter by telling the disciples several things. He says, "I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And where I'm going, there's going to be a room in my Father's mansion. I'm going to go prepare that place. And then I'm going to come back. I'm going to show you the way to where I am going." Jesus says to them, you know, "Greater things than these will you do." He's trying to empower the disciples. He says that he is in God, God is in him, they are one. He says that God is in me, I am in you, we are one. It's that great fractal, my favorite passage that I refer to all the time in my preaching and teaching, that great fractal that therefore we are one with God. And then to comfort the disciples, Jesus says that as he is going to ask God to send them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that will be with them to be as a counselor, as an advocate, as a guide. Now, I love that. If you were to give somebody a word of wisdom and hope, wouldn't you tell them that do not be afraid, that God is going to be with them, that Christ is going to be with them, that the Spirit of God is going to be with them? That's what Jesus is trying to say. The Comforter, the Advocate, the Guide, the Holy Spirit is going to be with them. Now, I love that because it's so different than when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of the Trinity, God the Mother, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all these doctrines and dogmas that get locked up with the concept of the Holy Spirit. And that's not Jesus' understanding at all about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something intimate. The Holy Spirit is something personal. The Holy Spirit is a counselor for us. Just think about that. God in the middle of our life acting as a counselor. What does a counselor do for us? What did a counselor do for you the last time you saw a counselor? And hopefully there has been a time where you saw a counselor, because I really believe we all need a little bit of counseling in our lives. So when was the last time you saw a counselor, and what did they say to you? They listened to you without judgment. They took everything that you said, and they helped you try to find the way forward. They helped you get some guidance and insight. They wanted you to feel empowered and strengthened in your journey forward. Well, that's what Jesus is looking for here. Jesus is looking for you to be a sense of advocate, a sense of advocacy, a comfort and guide. So, you know, when was the last time you checked in? And then Jesus talks about that the Holy Spirit is going to be the great teacher. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us. I want you to think about, what does a great teacher do? What is the greatest teacher you have in your life? What do they do for you? You know, for me, my greatest teachers have been those who have opened my eyes and my mind to new insights and new ideas. They challenge me in my thinking. They help me to go beyond my own preconceived notions of things and to go even deeper and broader. Some of my favorite professors have been those who have been so strict, and they've banged us into our books and they banged us into our papers. They challenged us to rewrite papers and start all over. I'll never forget the height of my education was my doctoral dissertation. I worked over a year and a half on that dissertation. And when I turned it in, my lead professor read it and he gave it back and he said, "Nice try." I'll never forget that. "Nice try." And I had to go back, I had to start all over another year of research and writing. But it was, looking back, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. He was one of my favorite professors because he just challenged me. Where do you need the Holy Spirit to just challenge you? Where do you need to be open to new ideas and new insights about God and God's presence in your life? Where do you need to be taught about the teachings of Jesus? Where do you need to be pushed? That's where the Holy Spirit is going to go, in the middle of our lives, pushing you. Not just some great doctrine and dogma, but in your lives, pushing you. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is going to remind us of everything that he said. Where do you need to be reminded of the teachings of Jesus? You know, Jesus said a lot of things. Sermon on the Mount, the Great Commandments, not to worry, not to judge, all of the parables, all of the healings, so many different things. The Holy Spirit is going to be reminding us of everything that Jesus taught us. Now, I really believe we need to do our part. I really believe we need to be engaging in the scriptures, reading what Jesus taught, so the Holy Spirit can then teach us what the Holy Spirit taught. That's why, you know, I kind of sound like a broken record on this, but I really believe you got to be reading the Bible. Reading the Bible, it's like a daily thing that you should be doing. You don't have to spend a lot of time, 10, 15 minutes. You know, start easy. Start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the book of Acts, a second half of the Gospel of Luke. When you kind of read through those, then you can explore Paul's letters. There's Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I mean, stay away from Revelation. That's kind of a complicated book. I wouldn't dive straight into the book of Revelation, because you'll just get confused. But daily, read the Bible. Read it as a book. Read it as an app. Read it on your tablet. There's so many different daily reading guides. If you need to, call me, email me, text me, and I will show you how, when, and where to read the Bible. But if the Holy Spirit is going to remind us of the things that Jesus has taught us, we have to do our part. We have to be reading the Bible. You know, it's just, must do it, get it done, engage. If we're going to follow the teachings of Jesus, we need to read the teachings of Jesus. All right. Teach, remind, comfort, guide. And then Jesus says, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave to you. I will not leave you abandoned. I will give you my peace. I love that. Where do you need peace? Where do you need peace in your marriage, your relationships with your spouse, your partner? Do you need peace with your kids, with your grandkids? Do you need peace at work, peace in your retirement? Where do you need the peace of Christ? Well, that's Jesus' parting message to us. It's peace. It's not rancor. It's not anger. It's not havoc. It's not upsetness. It's not worry. It's not stress. It's peace. You know, one of the things that I've decided is that I'm finally over being stressed out. You know, it's taken me 37 years of ministry to finally realize stress doesn't get me anywhere. I realize that stress and worry is a choice, and I am choosing not to go there, not to engage it. It doesn't accomplish anything. So I'm choosing instead to be peaceful. I'm trying to practice peace every morning in my life throughout the day. I'm choosing to be peaceful when I'm engaging in committee meetings at the church, when I'm talking with my own family. I'm trying to find a sense of peace and working out of that sense of peace. You know what? If we're ever to discover peace in the world, we have to discover peace in our own lives. The peace of God, the shalom of God, the peace of Christ, the shalom of Christ is given to us. And then Jesus said, do not be afraid. You know, it's said 365 different times in the Bible, and this is one of them. One of those 365 times when Jesus says, do not be afraid. Wouldn't that be cool to have that final advice on departure? As Jesus saying to his disciples, his final words, do not be afraid. Man, Jesus wants to give us courage. Jesus wants to give us strength. You know, we talked about last week on the video, I said, you know, that Paul said that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. There is that Holy Spirit working in the middle of our lives, giving us a spirit of power. Do not be afraid. Where do you need courage in your life? Where do you need to stand up and be tall? Where are you playing small, and where do you need to go big in your life? That's the words of Jesus. Do not be afraid. So it's his great departure. His great departure. These are his final words to you. Which ones are you going to take to heart? And then your own departure. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? You see, I really believe you can't tell people what you're not living. And so if you want to depart wisdom, you got to be living wisdom. If you want to depart faith to people, you have to be living faith. If you depart kindness and gentleness and compassion and depth and insight and wisdom, then you got to be living those ways. So get up off the couch. Start living. Start departing. Live as if tomorrow might be your deathbed, your great departure into the resurrection. Do not be afraid.